what's happening, Bridge Church, and what an honor it is to be with you. And thank you, Pastor Edwin and Ariel. Love you guys. We're so grateful for your pastors. Not only are they Ark church planters, I love church planters and Ark meetup coordinators. So we plant churches here at Ark, and you give to that every time you're faithful in your tithe and offering, and you give like you've been doing online or in this online expressions. I know we can't wait till in-person gathering. I know that's the heart of your pastor. But every time you give, it helps us to plant churches. And we want to do more of what's happening at the Bridge Church. We want to do it everywhere. We love what God is doing there in Virginia, but we want to see that happen all across the United States and all across the world. And it's so important. So Pastor Edwin is one, and his wife and their team, they're ones who help us do more of this. So thank you so much for being such a generous church and be such a giving church. And again, it's awesome to be with you. I love these formats. I've been enjoying being able to communicate through so many different formats, but also we can't wait to be together. I know you feel that way as a church. I love the name of your church. When God spoke that to your pastors, I know He spoke it right to their hearts. And boy, is that not more truer today than the thought of being a bridge, be bridge builders. We look at what's happening right now in our nation, and I'm grateful for your pastor. We had a conversation today. He's been having a conversation with Greg Surratt, one of our lead team, and on and on. And we're going to be looking to Pastor Edwin and his wife to help us be better. You know, it's just tough times right now. And my heart goes out to every person who is walking through pain, who've been traumatized. We've all been traumatized. And I can't imagine how maybe you have been traumatized in your own life by what's happening in the world today. And I'm just grateful for a pastor in a church that stands up against the hate of racism and then does everything they can to help other people understand about that pain. What we saw happen with George Floyd right there in Minnesota, what we've seen happen, of course, in Georgia with that precious young man, Aubrey. Then we can go on and on and on and on. They're in Virginia, all across the world, all across these United States. We understand the raw pain, loss, and just no other word than just suffering. And but I believe because of the grace of God and because of the Word of God and because churches like the Bridge, I believe we're going to change. I believe that we're not going to stay the same. We have to change. This must change. So that's our heartbeat. And again, I honor your pastor. I honor this church. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. And I'm proud of you, how you've engaged your community. You're a served church. You're a church that loves people. And you've been serving in your community. You've been working with your schools there, even during this COVID-19 and all the changes that have happened, engaging families, students that are in need. You've been being a blessing to healthcare workers and providing care packets, which I believe is exactly what Jesus would want us to do. And then I love how you've partnered with your food bank. Every time you give your tithe and offerings, every time you go online, you click that to give, your pastor is not only helping us plant churches and touch the world, but the leadership team there is saying, let's do something right in our community. And so I think that's what it's all about, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And even though we've been quarantined and we've been practicing social distancing, and even though we may not be doing in-person gatherings, I can tell you this, church is not closed. Bridge Church hasn't been closed. You've been reaching people. Your generosity is changing people. It's changing your community. And thank God for your voice as it's been lifted. It's going to change the world. It's going to change this nation. And that's my prayer is change, transformation, ultimately impacting eternity because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, our King. Again, it's an honor to be with you. I get to help lead this organization called ARC and get to partner with the great Church of the Highlands. And we planted a church, my wife and I, a long time ago. We pastored 20 years in Louisiana. We planted a church. It was so small, you wouldn't believe it, Bridge, how small it was. Just a handful of people. And God helped us over 20 years to grow a church like the Bridge and to make a difference, reach people, multiple locations, multiple expressions, diverse. And you saw the beauty of the tapestry of humanity in our church. And I love pastoring there. But God called me here to help lead this. And so, again, thanks for your generosity. I want to talk for a few minutes. I love the series and the conversation you've been having out of the book of Philippians. And I asked your pastor, I said, man, I love the title. I love this idea, gains and goals, gains and goals. And if there's a time right now we could see it as gains and goals, it's right now. And especially as we pursue God's purpose and His plan for our life. And even in the midst of all the climate that we're in right now, we don't ignore it. We speak directly to it. You know, what are the gains and goals? And so I love that you've been landing in the book of Philippians, but I asked Pastor Edwin, I said, man, I love the title, but can I sneak over to the book of Matthew and share one of my favorite windows in the life of Christ for a few minutes with you, Bridge? He said, of course. So thank you, Pastor Edwin. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, as we lean into your word. Lord, we thank you for gains and goals. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing through the Bridge Church, even right now. Lord, thank you that you've given them a voice and the leadership of our pastors. I pray, Father, thank you for generosity. Thank you, Lord, how they've been able to engage the community, even during this time, moving the church forward, reaching people. So, Lord, I pray that you speak to us for a few minutes. Lord, we want to gain, and we want to have, our goal is to know Jesus and to make him known. Our goal is to love God and love people, all people. Lord, we love you so much in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. I don't know if you're watching at home, if you're watching on your phone, a computer, I don't know where you're watching it, but I'm just believing God that as we read the scripture, it's going to bless you like it blesses me. This is one of my favorite windows, one of my favorite moments in the life of Christ. It's Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountain and he sat down and great crowds came to him. And look what they said. It says, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, laid them at his feet. He healed them. Verse 31, the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. I love these next few verses, what happens here. Jesus called his disciples to himself, says, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to see them go away hungry or that they may collapse on the way. It sounds like the world that we're living in right now, hungry, collapsing all around us. The Bible goes on to say the disciples said, where are we going to get bread? This remote place. And Jesus said, well, what do you have? And I love how one of the verses says, the phrase in verse 34, a few small fish. Isn't it amazing how you and I, if we're not careful, we downplay what we do have because of what we don't have? Oh, that preach right there. I run around a little bit in the studio here at Ark. I mean, think about it. So often God says something to us. God asks something of us. God requires something of us. And we immediately begin to tell God what we don't have. My. What we're not. You don't understand where I came from. You don't understand how limited I am. You don't understand the boundaries on my life. You don't understand the opposition of my life. You don't understand the situation and the interruptions and the pain and the struggle. And we use it so often as the only thing we go to. Yes, we understand the struggle. Yes, we understand the pain. Yes, we understand all of our unique challenges. But sometimes God says, I know you've been through struggle. I know you've been through a storm. I know you've got a situation. But what do you have? May feel so small in a world so big. Our serve, our tithe, our gift, our love. I'm a single mom. I'm a young mom. We're in a blended family. I'm a senior adult. I'm a student. I'm a single dad. I'm just a dad trying to make a living, working two jobs. I don't have none. I'm not as good as Pastor Edwin. I'm not gifted like everybody else. I can't sing. I can't preach. I'm an introvert. I'm this. I'm that. I'm limited. My education, my work experience, my personality, my skill, my on and on and on and on. And we tell God what I have is just so small. Look what he said. He said, okay. He told the crowd to sit down. He took the few and he gave thanks and he broke them. He gave them to disciples and in turn, they gave it to the people and they all ate. It's amazing how he can take something few, something small and bless the all. something small and bless the all. That's exactly what he wants to do in you and I's life. The Bible goes on to tell us that, man, there were leftovers and thousands of people, and the people were blessed. I love this window into the life of Christ because I believe it's Jesus at his best. You know why I believe it's Jesus at his best? Because he's with people. He's with all kinds of people. He's just there on the hillside in the sea of hurting, broken humanity. If Jesus was here today, he would be in the streets. He would be walking, marching, leading, serving, healing, touching, noticing, forgiving, setting free with humanity. And everybody, they just show up. One gets healed and go gets an uncle. One gets healed and go gets an aunt. One gets healed and go gets a friend. And they keep bringing all these people to Jesus, and they keep laying him at his feet, the lame and the blind and the crippled and many, many others. And this goes on for 3 days. Now, can I tell you something? I had a lot of preaching. Old Pastor Edwin, he could preach long. Now, he's not a long sermon. And he got a lot of preaching him. But I'm going to tell you this, 3-day preach, I'm about to call the church, security over. I'm about to call the church people. Can't be in here 3 days. That meeting went on for 3 days. Healing, miracle, supernatural, touch, whatever the need was. Just like Bridge Church, whatever your need is. I'm looking into this camera, but I'm looking to you. I'm looking right at you. What is your need? What is going on in your life right now? What is your fear? What has crippled you? What has paralyzed you? What has hurt you? They laid him at his feet. Right now, your need, your struggle, your bother is being laid at the feet of Jesus. And here are amazing words. He healed them all of them, everybody. Nobody was too far gone. Nobody was too distant. Nobody was too hard. Nobody was too impossible. He laid them at, they all brought them and laid them at the feet of Jesus. And he healed, and everybody fired up. You ever been one of them services, get fired up? I came to Christ. I was not raised in church. I'm from a little city, you may have heard of it, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Come on, South Cackalacka. And I came to Christ through outreach. So when you talk about serving and partnering with the school, partnering with the food bank, partnering, doing outreach, I was reached through outreach. I would have never showed up one day and just got online and watched a church. Man, I was lost. I don't ever remember a time in my life where my family said, get dressed, we're going to church, get dressed. We were not church-going people. We weren't wicked and evil. We just didn't go to church. So guess what? The church came to me. And someone brought the gospel to me. Someone that I was starving, I was hungry, I was collapsing, I was exhausted by the weight of sin and the craziness of my life. And they brought something supernatural to me. I would have never went shopping for it myself. So it came to me. That's what the heart of God is. That's what this story is all about. And I was reached through outreach. And boy, I tell you, and I got involved with a little church, and we'd have them shouting services. I wonder if you've ever been in a shout. We shouted. And in this story, you see that the people started shouting. The people got so excited, they wouldn't leave. They weren't going anywhere. And Jesus brought the disciples right there on the front row of hurting humanity. There were, I'll tell you what, there were gains and goals that took place. And he brought the disciples up close and personal, saw the grace and saw the soup. I believe God is doing something in the church right now that he is wanting us to move closer to the pain and to the plight and to the struggle. I know he's doing that in my heart right now. I'm listening. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm spending time with people different than me. I'm watching. I'm trying to hear with squinted ears about the pain and the struggle of privilege, of reduced opportunity, of hurting humanity. I want to get as close as I can to it. Jesus brought the disciples right up close like He gave them a front row seat. I'm praying that God Almighty would give your church, the Bridge Church, would have a front row seat in what's happening in the world today because of the solution and because you are a bridge. I'm praying that for your life, for your family, even in this COVID. I'm praying that right now for your job and your future and your school. Front row seat in what God is doing right now. That's my prayer. Lord, we don't want to serve you far away. We want to serve. I want to be right here as close as I can to what's happening right now in our world and in our community. I love basketball. I grew up playing basketball. And believe it or not, I mean, check it out. Basketball player and played college ball. Now, it was a Bible college, and we did mostly missions trips. But anyway, I love basketball. My son played ball, and we were living in Baton Rouge at the time. We would love going down to New Orleans, and we would watch the New Orleans Hornets. Back then they were the Hornets. Now they're the Pelicans. So there was a lot of going. I don't remember real well. But anyway, we'd go down there and we'd buy the cheap seat tickets. We'd be way up in the up there. I didn't want to pay any money. And the Hornets made the playoffs when you were playing the Lakers. Come on, Laker Nation. And a businessman in our church, he called me, and he was such a blessing to me, as a blessing to his pastor, like many of you are a blessing to your pastor. He said, I want you to go down, I want you to sit in my seats and go on down to the New Orleans Arena and go down there and enjoy the game. So I ran by his office, the secretary gave me an envelope, they were in an envelope sealed, and I brought them in, me and my son Dylan, we walked through to get showed tickets, didn't ever even look at it, put it back in an envelope, started going up to our seat, showed them to one of the ushers, and the usher said, oh, no, you're not here, you need to go down to the next level. Wow, okay, we're close, we're getting to the next level, and he showed the usher the tickets, and you need to take the elevator to the bottom floor. I didn't even know there was an elevator. Took the elevator to the bottom floor, came out the elevator, whoo, it big time. And they had food, they had a little jazz band. We walked out on the court. I thought I was going to get, arrested because I ain't never been down there. And I showed the tickets to the precious lady usher. And she said, oh, come with me. We walked out into this arena. Wow. I never seen it from the floor. And she brought me over and we walked by some seats and we sat on a courtside seat against the Lakers. I'll never forget when Kobe Bryant rolled out. Man, God bless his heart. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant and his family. Bless them. And when he came out, I could not believe the view. But, and we watched that game from the front, courtside from the front row. And we watched that. Oh, my goodness. The game was so fast. Everybody's so tall. You could hear the sneakers squeak. And it was at one time the ball went out of bounds and the referee took it, handed it to my son for a second as he dried it off. And my son handed it to, I think it was Derek Fisher. And Derek looked at my son. We were right there. And the game was over. We could not believe it. I could not imagine how incredible the view was. And when the game is over, Bridger, I didn't want to leave. I want to stay right there and see. Because I didn't want to go back up there. Can you know what I realized? I got ruined because of the view. I never want to see another game from way up. Every game I've ever been to is from the context. Let me tell you about that time I sat courtside. Let me tell you about the time I was right here. Jay-Z was right there, and right over here was Puff. It was amazing. Now, the interesting thing is when I left and brought my son, and he was sleeping in the back seat as we drove back across Pontchartrain, Lake Pontchartrain, going into Baton Rouge, that long bridge. Those tickets were in my... I never looked at the tickets. Usher would give them back to me. I pulled out those tickets, and I looked at the face value. Do you know how much those tickets were? About $700 each. $700. That may not be a lot of money to you. That's a lot of money to me. $1,400 that he gave us in those tickets. Two things hit my mind. Number one, the man who gave me these tickets, I will pastor him till Jesus comes back. He's going to be my pastor forever. I love that man. The second thing is I thought about, wow, premium view, premium price. Gains and goals. I think so often we want a front row seat, and all we want to do is pay a cheap seat price. Can I tell you something? If we're going to see God move in our marriage, it's going to cost us. If we're going to see God move in our church, it'll cost you. You know that. Cost you. If you're going to see God move in our community, hey, if we're going to see God move with our teenagers, if we're going to see God move in this addiction that I'm dealing with, in this pain I'm dealing with, in my struggle, in my own insecurities, in my own identity, it's going to cost. If I'm going to see God move in our streets and in this nation that needs God Almighty, we need leadership right now. We need men like Pastor Edwin. We need men like Pastor Greg Surratt. We need men like Jimmy Rollins. We need men like Daniel Floyd. We need men like Rick Bezet. We need men like Benny Perez. We need men and women. We need women like Joyce Myers and women like Wendy Perez and women like my wife. We need everybody, all kinds, every color, every expression. We need them in our nation right now. But it's going to cost us to engage, communicate, gain and goal. I will never forget that evening when I had a front row seat on a basketball game, and the disciples for 3 days had a front row seat on the supernatural power of God. And that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for you and I. That's my prayer for Bridge Church. My prayer for right there in Virginia. That's my prayer for all across our nation, that we would do whatever it takes. Now, I want to end up and just give you just some application before we're done and enjoy this moment. And can't wait till we're together. I know your pastor feels that way. Just a few couple things. Here's the first thing I love about this story is it was real grace. Man, the people were struggling. The people were hurting. And Jesus just gave real grace. Real grace. I'm talking about grace where he does for you what you cannot do for yourself. Maybe in your finances, maybe in your marriage, maybe as a parent, maybe in your dream for college or dream for a future. Real grace. Here's the second thing I see. I wrote this down. Is true love. Jesus did not limit his love to anybody. You know what I've learned lately? Is that it's one thing to love people like you. It's another thing to love people different than you. I've been learning that firsthand as a husband, as a dad, and as a pastor, as a leader. It'll cost you. When you love people that are not like, they didn't come from the same high school, they don't wear the same hair, they don't like the same shoes you wear, same food, they don't talk the way or act Italian like me, all these different things. When I love people that are different from me, it's true love. Here's just five of them. The other one is costly compassion. Compassion will cost. Compassion says this. I got this definition the other day that I read, and it's my new definition for compassion. It's your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. I'm going to allow your pain to invade my heart. I'm going to feel what you feel. That's what we need today. That's what I'm praying for my life, that I will allow the pain right now specifically of my African-American, my black brothers and sisters, their pain to be in my heart. But that's for all of us. Maybe someone fighting addiction. Maybe someone who doesn't want to live. Maybe someone who's struggling. It's real grace. It's true love. It's costly compassion. I'll tell you something else that takes place. It's radical change. It just wasn't like, oh, okay, we good. Everybody go home. No, Jesus, he noticed that they were going home. And they were going to collapse. He said, this cannot happen. He did something radical. He took some fish and he took some little loaves of bread and he blessed it. And supernatural power hit the natural gift. That's what happens every time we tithe. That's what happens every time we give. I go and cut grass. I go and wait on tables. I go and sell things. I go and serve in an area. And I take a tithe, a tenth, an offering. I believe in tithing. And I give it to the local church. I give it to the gospel. And it's from my natural work. It's from my labor. I cut hair. I do nails. Or I roof a house. All these different things. I work a deal. And I give my natural, my tithe. It may not be what somebody else gives. It's that sometimes it feels so little. But then God takes that, puts supernatural on it, and then people receive Jesus. People's whole lives are changed. Healing, set free, restored, reconciled. It's amazing. It is radical change in our life. And you know what? You always know where change begins. Change begins with me. I know your pastor's taught you. What is it? It's gains and goals. And then the last thing, which I think is so important, and it's just the idea of how Jesus distributed mercy. So it's real grace, it's true love, it's costly compassion, it's radical change, and it's distributed mercy. It's relayed mercy. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. My prayer is that you and I would be relayers of mercy. A lot of people need mercy today. Undeserved. Just, woo. And loving people that almost don't, I don't even know, you don't even deserve all this grace and all this love I'm giving you. Oh, no. It is radical. It is undeserved. It is the relaying of mercy. I want my life to be that, a relaying of mercy. Because you know what I've realized is that every time I distribute, every time I give, every time I serve, every time I love, oh, I pray that there'll be change there. I pray that there'll be mercy there. I pray that there'll be grace there. But I'm going to tell you who it changes the most. It changes me because I need mercy. I think that's why the Good Samaritan crossed the road to help the person in the ditch, because he didn't see somebody, some stranger, some person he didn't know. He saw himself. That's our prayer. I'll finish with this. The other day, I was having one of those days where I was thinking a lot about me. You ever have a me day? You ever have a day you think about yourself? I was in my head over and over and over again. Me, 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 me. And I was going through the Starbucks, getting me a coffee. Order, didn't even think about anybody. Don't even remember order. Got my drink, don't even remember the person who gave it to me. Pulled up, put my truck in park, and finally, I don't know how long I was there. Somebody knocked on the window, they startled me, roll your window down, who, what? They said, you're blocking the drive. 15 cars wrapped all around Starbucks, blowing their horns. Ah, barista hanging out the window. Blah, blah, blah. And I just pulled up, and the guy's walking beside me. I said, my man, what's up? Who are you? He said, man, I'm just walking through. He said, his words to me was, I'm homeless. I'm trying to find a bus, trying to get down to the shelter. I said, my man, it was 5:30. I said, close it. I said, we have a dream center there. We do an outreach, and we just have an expression of God's love in that community. And I said, my man, they close at 7. The shelter closes at 7, and it's right next to one of our outreach centers. And I said, man, get up in my truck, bring me down there. Now, I'm not an advocate of putting people in your vehicle, people you don't know, but he was a smaller guy. I'm a big old dude, obviously. I was all right. As I began to head down there, we began to talk, and I said, what's your name? He said, Benjamin. I said, Benjamin, that's in the Bible. I said, Benjamin. He said, what's your name? I said, Dino. He said, my man, that's in the Flintstones. I said, jabba dabba doo. Somebody that, anybody over 40 be all right. Anybody under 40, you won't get that. You get it later. Google Flintstones. And, man, we began to talk and share. Had some stuff in my truck that I gave. We ran into a little Burger King and ran through a drive-thru. Got him there. Bridge, I got to pray with him. And I prayed. I told him about some of the things that we're doing as an outreach center, as a dream center. And it was a good moment. I watched him walk into the shelter, and I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for using me today. Thank you for how I blessed Benjamin. He said, Dino, I didn't send you to Benjamin. I sent Benjamin to you. I sent Benjamin to you to get you off of the back row of me, myself, and I, and to get you on the front row of gains and goals of my grace and mercy, so that you can live on the front row of seeing my grace alive in people's lives. Really, Benjamin was the gift. Hey, Bridge, let's be that church. Let's be those people. Let's walk in generosity. Let's have real change. Let's be givers. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now for every person joined us. I pray for your blessing, for your strength, for your grace and mercy. I thank you for our pastors. And I thank you that everyone has joined us and watched. I thank you, Lord, for the next season of our church. And I pray strength, Lord. I pray for every person today that feels alone or maybe feels like they're on the back row of life. They've been forgotten and no one notices them. They feel so far away from life and from God's will and from good things. They're so far away. I thank you that the cross of Jesus Christ brings us to the front row of God's plan for our life. And we can get in a small group and we can join a team and we can take a next step because of what you've done. And Lord, I pray that the next step for many right now would be someone that would say yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're watching right now and you say, I need Jesus in my life. I'm tired of the back row of pain and hurt and addiction. I want to come right to the courtside seat and see Jesus in my life. Pray this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and give me a new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen.